out of these verses here. Proverbs chapter number 15. I want to say thank you for being here. Thank you so much. I'm telling you, I appreciate your faithfulness to the house of God. I truly do. And so, I don't just say that to fill in space. I got plenty to say. God knows, Mama knows, I've been big mouth all my life. I ain't never been short of words, but I say that because I mean it. I feel that most of the time. And I said, I feel that. I appreciate you being here. I mean, that's the joy to my soul. And I say it because I mean it. Proverbs chapter number 15. Is anybody hot? Whew, man, I feel like I'm going through the change of life. I'm having my own little private summer up here. Oh, have mercy. It's hot, man. The Bible says in verse number 1, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. This has been a lifelong verse, and I ain't got a hold of it yet, but when I was just a boy, my Aunt Linda, now let's just leave it alone. My Aunt Linda had this Bible verse taped up on her, she had an index card, and she had this Bible verse taped up on her bathroom mirror. And as a little boy, I went in there one time, and there was a verse out of Proverbs chapter number 10, and a verse out of this Proverbs 15:1. It said, grievous words stir up anger, but a soft answer turneth away wrath. And I was as lost as a goose in a hailstorm. But I promise you, I understood what that verse meant when I read that on her bathroom, when I knew exactly what that meant. Soft answer turn away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. I don't know a better place or a better application on planet Earth for this to take place than in our homes. I couldn't think of a better place for this verse to land and be practical and for it to take and set up its roots and make its abode other than our own personal home. I know many times in my life I've practiced and seen it practiced that grievous words do stir up anger. Been a many a times where I could have just give a soft answer and everything would have just died down and laid down. And after I made the mistake of giving out a grievous word, I realized a soft answer would have done so much better right there. But sometimes in my flesh and when I want to fulfill the lust thereof, it's just easier to say something that's against the grain, easier to say something that'll tick somebody off or to kind of get at them, you know, and push their buttons and rub them wrong. Yeah. But if our children, if siblings could learn this at a young age, if moms and dads would watch and make sure that the siblings are not just saying grievous words to one another. Hey, listen, why is that important? Because they're forming habits. And one of these days, they're going to grow up and they're going to have a spouse, whether it's a husband or a wife. And if all their life they've made it a practice and a rule and just a way to say grievous words to their brothers and sisters or to their friends, I'm telling you, bud, that's how they're going to treat their spouse most of the time. Because that's what they are. But if we could teach our children how to be kind one to another, we could teach our children. Boy, I used to drive me crazy when my boys, I mean, they would fight, and I didn't mind them fighting a whole lot. Every once in a while, they might need to fight. Zach ain't here. And Zach was so bullheaded and hard-headed, and when he started wrestling, he was so tough. And, I mean, he, you know, couldn't nobody handle him. And he, you know, Jacob, he was so tender-hearted and sweet and couldn't hurt a fly. And so Zach would take advantage of that, being the heartless little sucker that he was, and he would push Jacob around and push him over the edge and just teeter and totter with him, and Jacob would sit and take it, and finally one day Zach was pushing him around, and that took all I could take, and I went, you know what, y'all fixing to fight. I said, I'm sick and tired of the way you do him, Jacob. I'm sick and tired of the way you just let him do you. I said, son, you fixing to beat his hind end and you're not going to stop. I'm satisfied. Say, man, I wouldn't have done that. Well, that was me. That was maybe one of the mistakes that I made, but they got in a fight and I think Zach learned a lesson because it was a long, long time before he disrespected his brother again. Just luckily that we didn't have to go to the hospital, and you know, I was a referee, so we kind of kept it under wrap, and when they would try to quit, I'd say, no, I'm not satisfied yet, keep beating his tail. I know that sounds horrible, but probably one of the best things ever happened for Zach in the house, you know, just calm his little butt down. I'll never forget the day that they got in a fight. And I don't know why, I'm just talking about grievous words, man, just being an idiot. Grievous words. I remember one day they got in a fight and Jacob had him down. Jacob had him in the floor, and I wasn't refereeing, and I didn't condone it. I didn't like for them to fight. I didn't want them to fight. I wanted them to get along and love each other. And, man, they got in a fight one day and Jake had him down. And Jake never could hit him. He could just kind of wrestle him and put him in a figure four and just maybe try to hurt him like that. But old Zach got the faking asthma. You know, he had that asthma when he was a boy, and he had to take that spray. So he got in and he started faking asthma. And Jacob let him up. Well, when Jacob let him up, Zach jumped back on his head. Well, that's pretty good there. That's all right. So Jacob got wrestled around and got him back down again. And Zach faked asthma again. And Jacob felt sorry after a while and let him back up. And Zach went to grab him one more time. And before he got there, my hand was around. And I'm not being tough. I'm just telling you, my hand was around Zach's throat. And I just put him on the floor for a second to him. I said, son, I said, if a man's gracious enough to let you walk away, get up and walk away. Quit that stupid, because this is your brother and he cares about you and he really don't want to hurt you and he loves you. But if you carry that stupid junk out of this home, somebody's going to kill you. That's right. Well, people don't love him like that out there. You let him fool somebody and mess around with somebody like that out there, and they show you grace and let you up and walk away, and you turn around and get you a second dose and they're outdoing you. I promise you in trouble, son, walk away. Them was just a few couple weird incidents, but I always wanted to try to teach them. Steve, they would say stuff like, you faggot. They get mad looking at each other, you faggot. I said, hey, boy, I've got to straighten that junk out. Don't you call your brother a fag. Brother's not no stinking faggot. We're not having that talk around here. Don't call and just try to say something nice. And every once in a while, we would have family devotions. I'd want them to sit around the house, and we're going to say something nice about one another. I'd say, well, that's against everything a little old boy's egg, man. Boy, we cut a grit against that grain. No, we're not going to get by with just saying anything. We're going to say something nice today. Amen. The Bible said, grievous words stir up anger. A soft answer turneth away wrath. It's nice to say something nice once in a while. Out of people. Hey man, it do us good. You know where kids learn this? Kids learn how to be kind one to another from mom and dad. Kids learn how to be idiots to each other through mom and dad. You say, where'd your kids learn it, preacher? They learn it from their mom, and they learn it from their mom. And she ain't here. They learn it from their mom and dad. I was as good at it as anybody. Saying something stupid, getting mad, instead of saying something soft and kind and right, saying something mean and hateful and ill. Hey man, they learn, if they can learn from their mom and dad, it'd be a blessing, wouldn't it? Mom and dad say nice things to each other. Amen. Lord have mercy. His verse will bring peace to a home. Sure. It'll bring harmony to a home. A lot of problems in our homes could be done away with just if we learned how to use that old boy right there. Amen. If we just learn how to say something nice, you don't even have to say nothing nice. It don't have to be a compromise. You can just say something soft instead of something hard. Amen. A soft answer turneth away wrath. Boy, you wouldn't believe the times in my life where I just went, my God, if I'd have just said this, or if I'd have said it like that. It would have solved a lot of problems in my life. Amen. Most of the time in our life, though, we know each other all too well. We're just very familiar with each other. And my wife knows, and I know, when I say my wife, I'm still talking about unity, us being one, because I'm as good or probably better than her. I guarantee you, her mom and daddy didn't fight like mine. He was too much of a sissy to fight with his wife like Will did, but they taught me well how to stand in the trenches and fight. Yes, sir, with each other. Yeah, it'd be good. Say amen back there, mama. Listen. We know how to push each other's buttons. As a boy, I used to try to tell mama how to push Will's buttons. Sure. Instead of calling him some of them unchurched words that we used around the house, I used to say, Mama, call him a bald-headed before you use that word. Call him a, what is that? Grievous word. I just thought, man, that'd get him. Yeah, as a kid, I said, that'd get him. That's right. And boy, I tell you, my wife knows what buttons to push on me. And it's amazing, out of all the things in the world she can say, she says that one thing that she knows I hate more than anything in the world. Man, I know exactly what buttons to push on her. If I really want to get her going, and I don't know if I want to get any woman going, but if I really want to get her going, I know exactly what to say to get her going. That's right. Most time I just want to get them shut up. I don't want to get them going. I wish they'd just be quiet and be rational and, hey, be logical and let's talk about, hey, can you get some people to be rational in the middle of a heated argument? No, not to save your life. If I could just get that, I'd be happy. Most of the time we just know what buzz to push. And boy, when we get going, we can spew words just to get a rise out of our partner, or we can get a rise out of the one that we're dealing with. We know how to get our siblings mad. We know how to get our companions mad. We know how to get our spouse mad. Grievous words, soft enter turneth away wrath. Grievous words stir up anger. Our homes ought to be a place of harmony, church. It ought to be a place of harmony. It ought to be a place of peace and tranquility. I didn't say that we've mastered this. I'm not standing up here before you today saying I've mastered harmony in my home. I've mastered peace in my home. I've mastered tranquility. Because I hadn't done that, it could very well be today that I could cause an uproar in my own home. But I'm telling you what the Bible says, and I won't obey the Bible. And if I'm walking in the Word, then there will be peace, and there will be tranquility, and there will be harmony. But every once in a while, I want to get stupid and get outside the Word of God and cause a ruckus. Right. There ought to be a place, what's this, our home ought to be a place of unity. Sure it should. This one verse will help it as much as anything I know to achieve just that. Peace, harmony, tranquility, unity. Oh, I'm telling you, saying the right thing to one another will make all the difference in the world. Amen. And sometimes you can say the same thing and add or delete one word out of that sentence, that same sentence, and it changes everything. It goes from being a hard sentence to a soft. You can delete one word. You can say a whole thing and put one little grievous word in there and blow the whole conversation out of proportion. Or you can be scriptural and just let that thing be soft and give the right answer and give the right answer and solve a lot of problems in our home. Sure. Boy, if I could have learned that when I was 20 years old, that would have helped me tremendously. Right. It would have helped me tremendously. Let's look real quick at James chapter number 3. You know, the old Bible, it's a real help. You know where we're going. See, the Bible is more than just words. Man, this is literal. This is for real. This is a fact here. Look at verse number 10, James 3:10. We'll read on down to verse number 18. I won't probably try not to even say anything. I don't have to. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Hey, make up your mind. Either be a blesser or a cusser. Go ahead. Make up your mind. You're going to be a cusser. You're going to be a blesser. Amen. He said, don't not be. You're not blessed and cursed. Be one or the other is what he's trying to say. Now, according to your Bible, we ought to be a blesser, right? But it'd be better than to be a double standard person. Be better than to be unstable in all of our ways. It'd be better than to be double minded, than to just go ahead. Go ahead and be what you are. Be a cusser. If you're a cusser, be a cusser. You can't fool your kids. You'd do better off just being what you are. And then one day maybe God will save you and get you right, clean your stinking mouth up, and your kids will see a real change and a real Christian. Amen. That's right. Be one or the other, but you ought to be right. You ought to do the things of God. He said, doth a fount send forth the same, send forth at the same place, sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. You can't really, it's not right to curse and bless with the same mouth. It's not right to be wishy-washy in that man. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of good conversation his works and meekness of wisdom. But if any have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not. He said bitter envying, not bitter and envying. He said bitter envying is bitter. It's old bitter. And then strive in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. You hear that? You say, man, I don't understand why this stuff's going on around me. Back up, because there's envying and strife. Wherever envy and strife is, there's every evil. You find envy, you find strife. What is that strife? What is strife? It's that going against. It's that, you know, when they would go out and fight in them battles, Israel would go out and fight some other nation. You know what they did? They strived against each other. They fought against each other. One was going in one direction, one was going the other. They kept butting heads. And I'm telling you, the Bible says where you got that stuff going on, there's every evil work. That's not unity, lady. Unity people's going together. It's the opposite of unity. And he's talking about it. Where did this passage start? Started with this thing, didn't it? Started with them words that we use. Then he said, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable. Peaceable. How about that? Gentle. That sounds sort of like Proverbs 15:1, don't it? Gentle, soft, peaceable, and easy to be entreated. Full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. It's good, ain't it? Verse number 1. From whence comes wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust that war in your members? And that's something. My biggest problem is me. My biggest problem is me. Most of my battles come from the lust of my flesh. Right. Most of my battles come from the lust of my eyes. Right. Comes from the pride of my life. Most of my problem. Then go back to Proverbs 15, verse number 2. Verse number 2 says, the tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright. But the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. This verse is saying that sometimes there are things that we know that we ought to just keep our mouth shut about. Right. Sometimes we find out things about people. Sometimes we hear things about people. Sometimes we see things. And the Bible says what we ought to do is learn how to keep our mouth shut about them situations. When you hear something, when you learn something, don't run off and start telling everybody what you saw. Don't run off and start telling everybody what you heard. You know, in this previous verse, soft answer turneth away wrath, grievous word stirreth anger. How many times have you heard a preacher, because it's true, every time some young couple gets in an argument, she gets on the phone, wants to call her family, wants to call a friend, or they want to try to divide the children, and they start telling their, and they start running their mouth about their spouse. Isn't that amazing? God said, don't do that. That's foolishness. Don't do that. What did he say? Verse 9, the tongue of the wise uses knowledge. All right, there's things that you're going to find out about your wife that you're to keep between you and your wife. There's things a wife finds out about her husband should nobody ever know but her and her husband. That's right. And there's some things that goes on in our homes that are not nobody ever know about but the people inside their home. That's using knowledge aright. And it's okay to tell some things every now and again if it needs to be told. But I can promise you one thing. Things that don't need to be told just need to lock it up. If someone has done something and you find out about it, that don't mean you should talk about it. But a wise person will pray about it and talk it over with God and let God handle that. That's right. You want to talk? Let's talk to God about it. You want to tell somebody? Tell it to Jesus. You know who don't do that? The latter part of that verse tells you who don't do that. But the mouth of who? The mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. People that want to blab all that stuff about, God said you're a fool. That's right. God said that, hey, you know what another good word to me is for fools? Just stupid. That's stupid. A person that's stupid runs around just running that mouth all the time. Just everything they know, just telling everything they know. Some things need to be exposed. Some things need to just be prayed about, shut up about. Just let God handle that. And the Bible said that'd be wise on our part. Verse number 3. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. This verse ought to be an encouragement, both an encouragement and a discouragement to us. Ought to be both. We understand that God sees the evil that we do. We understand that. I mean, sometimes, boy, we hide. We think, don't nobody know. We got away with it. And, you know, the wife don't know. The husband don't know. The kids don't. Let me tell you what the Bible says. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, doing what? Beholding both the positive and the negative, the evil and the good. Amen. He's not ignorant of our doings. God is not stupid concerning what we do. He's not blind to that. He's not ignorant. But on the other side, the encouragement part is that God also sees the good that we do. Right. God knows when you're a blessing to people. God knows how much money you put in offering plate. God knows how much you help your neighbor. God knows where your heart is with mankind. He knows that. He's beholding the evil and the good. When the Bible says that we reap what we sow, that's positive and negative. You sow to this flesh, you're going to reap a whirlwind. Amen. But if you sow unto righteousness, you're going to reap life everlasting. Amen. That's right. You're going to reap good if you sow good. You'll reap bad if you... Man, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You reap good. You sow good, you reap good. You reap, you sow corruption, you reap corruption. You sow evil, you reap evil. I'd rather sow good, huh? Amen. I'd rather be a blessing. You say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about, friend, if you'll learn how to control that old mouth and learn how to say good things to people and give soft answers to people and say the right things and then sometimes hold your peace and not say anything at all, if you'll sow that, God will sow that back into your life. There'll be people giving you soft. Hey, there's going to come a time where you need mercy. There's going to come a time where you need some help, where you need an answer. And God will put that back in your life and give you the soft answer that you gave out all them times. God will show you the mercy that you showed all the people. You reap what you sow. Brother Ashford said it last week. Boy, said it well. How much we show ourselves mercy and how we ought to take that same mercy that we show ourselves. And boy, we are good at it. I am. And show it to other people. Amen. Take some of that mercy that we have on ourselves and have that on others that make the same mistakes or even worse. Amen. That's pretty good. Pretty good. I ain't talking about compromising now. You're talking about having mercy. It doesn't matter if anyone notices what you do or not. It don't matter. It don't matter if anybody notices the good that you do. I know people that can't do good 5 seconds without picking up a stinking phone and letting somebody know on Twitter or Facebook or my face or my face or whatever they all are and get on there and start tooting their own little stinking horn. And I mean, I see it all the stinking time. You hear it all the time. And the Bible said for you not to do that. Amen. It said let your neighbor say nice things. Let some stranger say something nice about you. Don't let your own mouth do that. Here's the deal. As soon as you tell somebody what you did, there's your reward. You just got your reward and we all know it. We already know it. But the Bible has a word for people that do good and have to go tell somebody, man, I did this or man, I did that. And pick up the phone and start telling people what a blessing you've been. The Bible says you just got your reward and God calls it vainglory. Vainglory. And I'd rather just sometimes just keep my mouth shut about it and just let God deal. Man, let God bless me and reward me. Boy, I was good to that old boy. I tell you, I've done so much for him. For God in heaven's sakes, that's good. But man, why don't you let the Lord deal with that? Let the Lord praise you for that. Let the Lord bless you for that. Let some stranger's lips praise you. Don't praise yourself. And boy, a lot of this got to do with that old mouth, don't it? This is good advice from the Bible. We ought to do as unto the Lord, ladies and gentlemen, and do everything that we do as unto the Lord, not so men that be pleased with us. We were to do it so that God comes along. Wouldn't it be nice? And it happened. It has happened. This has happened to me. God has pat me on the back before. I mean, I've had men to pat me on the back, give me some attaboys, and I liked it. I appreciated it. Thank God sometimes, boy, you work hard, you want your boss to come by, and I mean, there's nothing in the world wrong with that. There's nothing in the world wrong with a man working hard. I'm telling you, there's been times in my life where my boss man's left the job and I hunkered down. Son, you told me, I've got busy and I said, man, I want to please him when he comes back. I want him to see how much I've done. And boy, when he comes back, I want to hear him say, good job. I want to attaboy. I want a pat on the back. I'm going to tell you something, friend. It's the same way with God. Every once in a while, man, you can just get in there and get to serving him. Oh, it's good to hear God come by and just put his hand on your shoulder and say, attaboy. Amen. It's a blessing. God will give you a pat on the back. And that's why we ought to do what we do. We ought to do it so God gives us a blessing, or God notices it. And he does. The Bible said his eyes are in every place. He sees that evil and God sees that good. And I promise you, he's going to reward us accordingly. Verse number 4 says, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. Wouldn't this be something to find or even give? Wouldn't it be something? A tree of life. How about that? That verse says a wholesome tongue is a tree of life. Boy, wouldn't it be something to be able to give that to our spouse? Wouldn't it be something to be able to give the tree of life to our children? Wouldn't it be something to be able to give the tree of life to those that works around us, or those down at the marketplace, or our neighbors in the community? Wouldn't it be something to be able to give them the tree of life? What's the other thing that we have to give? The tree of death. That's what we're going to do. We're going to give the tree of life or the tree. We're going to speak life or we're going to speak death. I like talking about football. I told my wife yesterday, I said, honey, y'all please don't misunderstand me. I said, honey, I sure like football. Amen. I like it. I like it. I like boxing. I do. I love to see two black men get in the ring. I wish they'd take the gloves off and beat each other half to death. I like to see two men get on that field and put on some pads and just go full speed and collide. I like that stuff. I like the strategy. I like the little chess move. I like all the thinking that's involved in it. I like it. I like to see an old boy break a tackle and hit that sideline and be gone. I like it. I like to see him sprint down that sideline wide, stinking open, and that quarterback just held that thing and it just fall right in his arms somewhere 40, 50 yards down. I like it. Amen. I like that stuff. But ladies and gentlemen, that's not the tree of life. I can talk about that. Man, old brother Pat, hanging back on that wall, we used to get together. I'd go over to his house and sit down. And that old man of God, he'd sit down every once in a while, Michael, and he would make out like I was, well, he'd just make out like I had something to say, because he'd listen to me. More I'd say something, well, God love me, Brother Pat, and I'd give him something out of the love of God, and he would just make out big over, man, and he'd go on about, make me feel like I knew something. Man, that old man, he could sit down there and talk about the Lord Jesus for 4 hours. I mean, son, walk through that blessed book, and I mean excited about it. Tree of life. And I'd be sitting there just gleaning and eating out of his hand and loving it. And then we might bring up Brett Favre, because Favre was from down there, and we'd talk about, you know, old tough country boy playing the game like it ought to be. You know, we'd say something. We'd talk about the NFL or college or something for about 10 minutes. I'm not kidding. Maybe 10 minutes. God, and he'd be right back on the Lord. Amen. And I can remember those conversations, and I can remember Steve reflecting back. I can sit here and go back in my mind to the times where I've sat and thought about those conversations that we've had. Boy, I can tell you conversation after conversation me and that old man of God had, and some of the things that he said. And I can tell you, boy, there's been some precious words spoken to my life. And I get to thinking about, as much as I like football, as much as I like it, them things that he said to me about the Lord Jesus Christ outweigh that stupid junk. There's not even a comparison. There's not even a scale to put it in, because the things of God are so big and so important and so lively to me. And then that other stuff is so minute and small. It's not even fair to put them in the same scale together and weigh that it. Not fair, because that other was the tree of life. Oh, that old man of God was speaking the tree of life into my life. And boy, I'm telling you, it's some of the most precious words I've ever heard. Amen. That precious old saint of God. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. What a precious dear brother. But them trees of life. Are you offering a tree of life or the tree of death? I'm telling you, bud, I like to look at the trees in the Bible. Do you hear me? I get to thinking about them trees in the Bible every once in a while. And I get to thinking about Zacchaeus and the tree that was in his life. And thank God it enabled him to see the Lord Jesus. And then on the flip side of that, I get to thinking about that tree that Judas went over there and hung himself in. And I get to thinking about the man of God over there sitting underneath that juniper tree and God visiting with him. And then ultimately we're going to go over there to Calvary and visit the tree of Jesus Christ. And I get to thinking about them trees, and boy, what a tree of life that was. I'm telling you, what a tree of life. When you look at Calvary, it's not pretty. It's ugly. It's an image of suffering and shame, but man, what a tree of life. Amen. I like to speak that into people. Amen. I like to offer Calvary to somebody. Well, be something if we could just offer that tree. You ever noticed how some people's tongue is a tree of death? All they do is complain and find problems and find fault with everything and everybody. But then a wholesome tongue is a tree of life. It speaks good things. It speaks right things. It speaks pleasant things. Their words will refresh others and lift up people's hearts. Amen. All right. People say stuff and just encourage you, man. They lift you up. They help you along the way. Just some of the words they say. Yeah. I like being around these people. I like being around people like that. I really do. There's a lot of bad things. And I'm just an open, honest person. There's a lot of bad things that we can say about my Uncle Otis. They really is. I could sit here and run my mouth negative about him all day. But one of the things that I always really did like and appreciate about him, I mean, after he got done cussing you and threatening you and about half near killing you, he could always make you feel like you were somebody. Sure did. He could always say something real nice to anybody that walked. I've watched him take some of the goofiest, craziest, weirdest people down there at them ball fields, and man, just put his arm around them and say something nice, and they just about melt in his arms. I mean, just because he was so kind and said something nice to them. I've seen people just draw to him. I've seen him just draw people up to him because he says nice things to him. And he's a nice, they don't really know him because he'd bust you upside the head with a tree log or something in a heartbeat, but they didn't get to see that side. I ain't trying to be ugly. I'm just being honest. That's how he was, man. That's how he was. But, man, I tell you, I'd watch people just levitate over there toward him because he said kind things to him, just kind things. I like being around people like that. I like being around people that's got something upbeat to say. I don't like to be around people that's always negative and finding fault and complaining and murmuring and mulling. You like that? I don't like that. That's old tree of death, man. Say something good. I mean, man, I was contemplating this morning. I mean, you know, when you want to send a message out to your children, they're grown and gone. Thank God Almighty, 10,000 times they're grown and gone. And it's just me and mama that are at the house. And I mean, you can get up in your underwear and go to the bathroom without having to get fully dressed. I mean, it's a blessing having them gone. Never did run around naked in front of my kids. Never did allow them to run around naked in the house. Amen. But I said, I want to send them something this morning. I want to send them a Bible verse, Steve. I got to thinking, man, I got to thinking about this verse, and man, that was good. It blessed my heart. And man, I got to thinking about another verse, and I said, man, that's good. I said, well, I can't send them 40 verses. And I got it down there to Psalms 118, verse 24. This is the day which the Lord has made, we shall rejoice and be glad in. I said, that's good. Amen, I'll send them that. Then I went, no, I'm not sending them that. Bless God, half of them, two-thirds of them won't even get them to go to church this morning. So I sent them Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. Amen. Forsaken not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is. That's right. So why'd you do that? Because it's the words of life. Oh, it cuts you to the bone, son. I'm telling you, it didn't stroke them and make them feel all mushy and teary-eyed. I hope to God it cut against every stinking grain they got. Lay up in the bed or run down some stinking piece of cowhide or something. I'm telling you, for God's sakes, I'd rather be in there at the house of God this morning than anywhere in this world, amen. Just trying to give them the words of life. Offer the tree of life. So man, listen, I'm just trying to put that out, that word of God. Let the word of God do its job. I hope they're sitting down there today and they read that word, and I hope the Holy Ghost is, that's right. It'll take a whole lot, church. I'm telling you, you speak the words of, what is the words of God? What is the tree? It's the word of God. Speak that into people's life, and the Holy Ghost can come along and tap on that old heart and say, hey, that's right, amen. That's about all you need. That's about all you need. Man. Well, my goodness. Wouldn't it be something if this was going on inside of our homes? I'm a home guy. I'm a homeboy. Wouldn't it be something if the tree of life was growing in your home? Wouldn't it be something if the tree of life was growing in your kitchen and growing in your living room? You had a tree of life over there in your bedroom. The tree of life was growing over there in your bathroom. I mean, every room in the house, the closets, everywhere is just consumed with that tree. No, you can't go nowhere and get by with a stupid word. I'm telling you, man, the word of God just ruling and reigning all through your house. Wouldn't it be something if that tree was growing in our home? I'm telling you, every once in a while, there'll be a sour apple trying to grow on that tree. I tell you what we ought to do. We're to take that stinking thing down, lay it down before a holy God, and let God demolish that thing and get rid of that in our life. You say, preacher, did you master that? No, I didn't master that. That's how I know so well the other side of this thing. I'm telling you, thank God, in these 48 years old, man, God's showing me some things, and God's learning me some things, and I promise you, unto God, it's changing things in my home. That's right, this word of God, studying it and obeying it, walking in it, letting that tree grow in my family, in my house, it's changing things in our lives. Sure it is. And I pray to God it runs its course till the day we die. Amen. Amen. I pray that God comes along and God prunes it. Oh, man, and he keeps that fruit on there, and he keeps that. What is that fruit? It's peace and harmony and unity and tranquility. That's what the fruit of that tree of life is. Hope God keeps that thing pruned up so that peace keeps a coming. Amen. Produce, hey man, get us a good old bumper crop of tranquility this year. That's right. Get us a good old bumper crop of harmony and unity in the home this year. Get us some, let the peace of God just overrule our homes this year. And he can do that by, a lot of times, just by what comes out of this old boy right here. Amen. Amen. You realize that in a lost and dying world, a world that knows not God, your tongue can actually minister Christ unto people. Isn't that amazing? I wonder what people on the job know about you. I mean, they know what you told them. Do they know what, do they know that you come in there with God just overflowing? Man, she comes in here, he comes in here, they come in here, and I'm telling you, man, they God this and they God that. I wonder what people around us know about us. Yep. It's good to read them autobiographies of D.L. Moody. And it's good to read them autobiographies of J. Frank Norris. What is that, when you write about yourself in autobiographies? Is that right, Michael? But it's a lot better sometimes when you read it, the biography written by somebody else on the outside looking over. I tell you what I saw in that old boy. I'm telling you. You say, well, sometimes they say words of death. They speak the tree of death. Sometimes that's what they see in that life, huh? Maybe that's what they see. Maybe the reason they're slamming and slandering because they don't know God. And they're seeing somebody that claims to know God, and yet they're living like they don't. They can tell you what they see over there. Sure. Sometimes somebody else's perspective is a more honest one. That's right. Maybe that person ain't showing them that mercy like they're showing themselves. That's right. They'll say something a little kinder about themselves than what some stranger will. Well, I wonder what they know about us. That convicts me, church. I don't say that arrogantly or cocky. I say that on the conviction because I sometimes fail miserably at showing the people the Lord Jesus Christ in my life. Sometimes I fail miserably. May I remind you that out of the abundance of the heart, your mouth speaketh. Whatever's in your heart. If that tree of death is in there, that's what's coming out of your mouth. If the tree of life is in there, that's what's coming. If the love of God is in your heart, that's what's coming out of your mouth. If perverseness and corrupt, that's what he, what's that verse say? Watch this. But perverseness in that tongue, therein is a breach in the spirit. That's when that wickedness and corruption and all that undefilement is in your heart. It's what comes out of your mouth, causes that breach, causes that trouble. Verse number 5 says this, and I'm not going to probably deal with this. We'll deal with this later. A fool, what time is it? Oh, I'll quit here. Just give me one more verse. A fool despiseth his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent. Now that'll be a good one right there, but we'll deal with that some other time. In the house of the righteous is much treasure, but in the revenues of the wicked is trouble. In the revenues of wicked is trouble. What is revenues? John David, what is revenues? Ain't that sort of like pay? That's sort of like you pay. And Solomon is not talking about material wealth in this verse. I'll try to give you this and be done. Solomon's not talking about material wealth in this verse, such as money and land and houses and cars and clothes. He's not talking about material things. I'm talking about being rich material-wise. But if a man has a prudent spouse, then you have a treasure in your life. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, the treasures he's talking about is being back there on a Tuesday morning getting ready to go to work, and the kids is over there in the bedroom getting ready to do their schooling, and you hear the kids or whatever on a Saturday morning, and you're walking through the flea market or down the grocery store, and you look over there and you notice your kid singing, "Jesus loves me, this I know. God, help me, Jesus." You know what that is, ladies and gentlemen? That's a treasure. You hear me? I mean, it's a treasure when you come home and your spouse is wanting to put their arms around. It's a treasure. I say when you're in love with each other, it's a treasure. When you have peace in y'all, it's a treasure to have tranquility. It's a treasure to have unity. It's a treasure to have these fruits in your life. That's a treasure. I'd rather have peace in my home than all the money in the world. I'd rather have harmony and unity in my home than all the houses and land this world can afford. I'd rather have it. Nothing in this world like hell in the home. Nothing in the world like discord in the home. There's nothing like hate in a home. But I'm telling you, church, when you have them treasures, thank God, it's worth it all. Amen. Amen. Them treasures, that harmony, that peace, that love for each other. It's a treasure. It's a treasure to have children that loves their parents. It's a treasure to have children that obey their parents. It's a treasure to have husbands and wives that love each other. How about children that just ain't rebellious? That's a treasure, friend. That's the treasure Solomon's talking about. Or children that love God, that obey and honor the authority. That's a treasure. I'd rather have children that love God than a bank full of money any day of the week. That's right. I'd rather have children that love God. That's a treasure, friend. I'm going to tell you something. You can spend every stinking dime this world can ever give you, but you can't replace youngins that love God and is walking in the Spirit. Ain't nothing like it. A family that has the Word of God, obeys it and lives by it and raises their kids by it. Listen, that's a treasure. I mean, a family that's going to church and husband and loves his wife and a wife loves her husband and they love their children and they got the Word of God and they obey it and they raise their children by it and they live by it. That's a treasure, friend. That's a treasure that this world can't afford. Treasure Solomon's talking about. I can promise you one thing, the time around the family altar when I was a kid means more to me than all the vacations we ever took. It means more to me than all the Christmases we ever had. Lord have mercy. You have to understand, I was telling somebody last week, when I was a kid, I got a pair of cowboy boots for Christmas and loved them to death, but they was both left-footed. You say, what'd you get? I got two left-footed boots for Christmas. That's what it was, son. They wasn't going back to the store. Hey, I'd rather have harmony in my home and peace. I'd rather have kids that love God, that walk in obedience, than all the money in the world. Right. Lord have mercy. I'll never forget, and I gotta be done. I'll never forget some of the stuff. You know, I got around Stephanie's family, and they a little different than us. They got sense. We're crazy. But, them people, you go down there at their house at Christmas time and it's a sin. They got all them stinking presents. It's ungodly at all the gifts and ain't but two or three of them even got my name on it. That's the worst part. And I thought to myself, I'm not kidding you. I thought to myself, well, I gotta start speaking the tree of life to these people. See if I can't get my name on a few more of them gifts. See if I can't just suck up a little bit, get a few more Christmas presents. Quit being so honest to them and maybe they'll like me a little better. But then, Steve, I noticed when everybody started opening gifts, people would say, now if you don't like it, you can carry it back. And they would say, you know, if you don't like the color or if you got another kind you'd rather have, I got the receipt, you can carry it back. I used to sit there, JD, with my mouth light on the inside. I'd be like, you know, my mouth be shut and there would be smoke coming out of my ears and I'd be sitting there going, you bunch of stinking idiots. If you don't like it, suck it up. How about that? If you don't like it, lump it. How about that? If you don't like it, just put a smile on your face and shut up and take it home anyway. I didn't believe in carry it back. You mean you don't like that? Listen, you give me something, I'm going to like it. You give me a gift, I'm going to like it, amen. I didn't have to buy it. We didn't have that choice. We didn't have the option. Well, if you didn't, I got two left cowboy boots. You think we carried them back? No, I got two left cowboy boots. That's what I got. Somebody got two right ones. Amen. Listen, take what ungrateful, unsatisfied, no gratitude, nobody's pleased. I mean, man, for God in heaven's sakes, take what you can get, thank God for it, and go on. Let's be grateful. I'm going to tell you one of the most recognizable things of unholiness is unthankfulness. When people become unholy, they become unthankful. And God help us. Lord, I don't know how I got on all that, but here's what I'm trying to say. I said all that to say this, Mama. I mean, we had some good Christmases. I'm telling you, we got go-kart one year. I remember that. Boy, I'd sneak in there. Son, I got me, but you couldn't have got me anything in the world any better than a pump-up baby gun. Son, Mama, say, boy, no, don't y'all shoot them Cardinals. I thought it was like a pinata. I mean, it was such an emphasis on shooting them Cardinals. I said, man, there's going to be candy or money or something special supposed to happen. I'd chase a stinking Cardinal 3 miles. I'd put 3 BBs. Hey, Michael, I'd put that BB in there and drop 2 more and do everything in the world to kill that Cardinal. I'd chase them all over them bottoms to there. Just shoot that Cardinal. We had some good Christmases. Old Dickie. Put on his little outfit and go up there to Ralph Johnson's house for DT. I remember all that stuff. Good times. You know what the most precious memories I have in my entire childhood? I can remember sitting in the living room.
sitting around in chairs just talking about Jesus, reading that Bible. At the time, Michael, I thought it was awful. I'd really been out there in the woods cutting trees down or, you know, riding a bicycle and jumping jumps, doing something, anything but that. But boy, now that I grew up a little bit and I look back, I wished I could still ride a bicycle like that. I tried a couple years ago and ended up on my face on the ground. But the most precious things in my childhood was in times, Mama, we sit around the living room and had family altar. Amen. So what is that? It's a treasure. No money in the world can take that. Nothing in the world more valuable, more precious to me in my childhood, J.D., to have been able to sit around with the family and talk about the Lord Jesus. I didn't even know God. I didn't care nothing about God. Son, I look back now and go, boy, that was precious. Oh, that was so precious. It did something more for me than what I ever realized. I was sitting there wanting to go play, and yet God was instilling treasures in my old earthen vessel. Amen. Well, I tell you what, be good, ladies and gentlemen, for our families one more time. They'll sit around the tree of life and enjoy the fruit thereof. Wouldn't that be a blessing? And it starts with our old mouth. Amen. It starts with what we speak into people's life. You can speak life, you can speak death into them. If you're saved, the Lord is in your home. Let me say something to you. What a treasure. Man, if you say by the grace of God, you go home today, I don't care how many problems you might have, the Lord is in your house. People say, well, the Lord visited with us. The Lord came by. Let me tell you something. If you say, the Lord's already there. He's there. He didn't come by. He didn't visit. I understand all that terminology, but he's there. What a treasure. We have this treasure in these earthen vessels, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. I'm done. The peace that God gives, is that not a treasure? The love, the joy, the fellowship, all that good stuff. Oh, what a treasure. Father, we thank you for this time of Bible study and reading. We thank you, Lord, for the blessed book of Proverbs, God. Lord, the man of God talked about establishing our goings. And Lord, I know a better place to establish our goings than in the book of Proverbs, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for opening it up to us and help us, Lord, to get a hold of it. And God, to live it and obey it. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.